We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you prepare our hearts to receive the treasures which you reveal to us in Scripture, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, A Strange Land. To turn the calendar back, for some of us many years now, when we were born, we entered into a strange new world. Whereas before we were confined to our mother's womb, now we found ourselves living in a world that seemingly had no boundaries. When we learned to crawl, we were no longer confined to one place. We could go into other rooms of the house, and the kitchen was exceptionally an interesting place. We can open drawers and empty all sorts of fascinating trinkets on the floor. And the older we got, the more interesting our new world became. But as we gained more experiences in life, we found out that not everything remained the same. A beloved pet died and was gone, and there was nothing we could do about it. And there were other things that changed in our new world also that we couldn't see coming and had no control over. And a lot of money didn't stop things from changing and the change from coming. There was a farmer one time who had a bumper crop, tore down his smaller barns, built bigger ones to stash away all that he had, and then retire. But he died the same night. And so the Holy Spirit tells us in Scripture, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Thankfully, by sharp contrast, the Lord God controls everything, past, present, and future. And so we listen to what God said to Abraham. And God spake on this wise. And now notice a number of things. Number one, that his seed, but Abraham had no seed at the time. His wife Sarah was barren, and for years the couple had gone without children. And this, there was nothing either of them could do about it. Children are a blessing from God, and you can't just decide to have one. So God spake that his seed should sojourn in a strange land. Well, but God had promised Abraham that he would give him the land of Canaan. And Abraham didn't have any seed yet, but if he ever did, could his offspring, which he didn't even have now, could they sojourn in a strange land? If Abraham ever did have offspring, why would they leave the promised land? And number three, and that they should bring them into bondage. But if they were the children of Abraham, why would God allow his children to be in bondage? If God controls everything like he says he does, why would his children be treated this way? Number four, and entreat them evil 400 years. So why would God allow his children to be persecuted? And how could God give this the time limit of 400 years? We know not what a day may bring forth. And number five, the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge. Well, if God can really do that, then why would he wait 400 years to do it? If he really loves his children, why did he allow them to suffer bondage in the first place? And number six, after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. Well, why did they leave the place in the first place? Why not stay there? There are amazing words in this text, and they are of great comfort to us, as great as they were to Abraham. Remember, this is your story and mine. And there are two kinds of children of Abraham. The blood relationship, that's number one. But the spiritual relationship, those who have been given by the Holy Spirit the same faith that Abraham had. So, this is our own story. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. What we didn't realize as we were growing up in this world at first is that as nice as it seemed, we really did not belong here. This world is a great and terrible wilderness, and we are sojourners in a strange land. We have to remember that. We have many blessings here in this life, and that's good. We enjoy them, and we're thankful for them. That's the key thing. But we have something a lot better coming. And so in John 14, the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So the words to Abraham apply to us also. 400 years, we know that 40 in the Bible is the number of testing. And 40 times 10 is 400. We also know there's a set time. A set time for every single thing that happens in our life. And we also know there are great blessings that come from our sufferings. There's something that I've wanted to do in my preaching for years and years and years, and I've never actually done it. So I'm going to do it right now. What I'd like to do is I'd like to read the chapter on the Lord's Prayer. And no, I'm not talking about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's our prayer that Jesus gave us in answer to the request, Lord, teach us to pray. But we're talking about the real Lord's Prayer. The prayer that Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father before he died. And so we're going to read the Lord's Prayer with just a few comments here and there. In John chapter 17. And I'd like you, as we read through this, to remember the context. And the context is this, chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. And then the next verse, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns, torches, and weapons in the darkness of night. That's the context. And right before that, Jesus prayed his prayer to his heavenly Father. And what a blessing it is that the Holy Spirit allows us to sit in and listen. Some, at least, of the most precious words in all Holy Writ. John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, Father, the hour is come. So many other times in his life he had said, mine hour is not yet come. But now he says, my hour is come. This is what I came into the world for. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. This is Jesus talking. His Father has given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So the Heavenly Father has prepared a bride for his only begotten Son. And his bride is a gift from the Father. And Jesus never forgot that. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. And by the way, this is the reason we've been created, to glorify God. And as a human being, that's exactly what Jesus did. He could say this, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And the way for the Son of God to be glorified was through death on the cross and obedience to the Father. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. What a blessing that is! The Heavenly Father gave Jesus some words, and Jesus takes the same words that the Father gave him and gives them to us. What a blessing that is. And they have received them, these words, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. There are very, very few people that can say that Jesus is praying for them. And these are the elect, the very small remnant that were chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past. I pray for them, I pray not for the world. So you and I can say that Jesus Christ is praying for us. Judas Iscariot cannot say that. Annas and Caiaphas cannot say that. The scribes and Pharisees and elders cannot say that, with very rare exceptions. But we can. He's not praying for the children of the devil. He's praying for the children of God. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Everything that I have is yours, Father, and everything you have is mine. And I am glorified in them, the ones whom thou hast given me. And Jesus is being glorified in us. How can that happen? Well, it can happen because the Holy Spirit's dwelling within us. And he brings forth good works that come from him, not us. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. None of them is lost. And Judas Iscariot, remember this, he was never one of God's elect in the first place. And when Jesus chose him as one of the 12 disciples, he knew very well what was in Judas's heart and what he would do. And it all fulfilled Scripture. The prayer continues, and now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Father, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. I know they're going to suffer, but I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Lucifer and all of his wicked angels and all of his wicked people. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Pilate, what is truth? Jesus, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And he's talking about more than the 12 apostles here. He's talking about all of his elect. And we're in the world because we're sent there by God. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now a precious, 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 precious word. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He's praying for you and me, for every one of his elect, in the Lord's Prayer, the same night in which he was betrayed. He's praying for you and me. What a blessing this is. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one. We're not second-rate children. We're members of the family, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, and Leah, etc. were. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. We can't begin to comprehend this. This is a deep prayer. But we'll learn later. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Nobody has ever seen Jesus Christ in all of his glory yet. He had little indications of it that Peter, James, and John saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, that it wasn't the real thing. Nobody has ever yet seen Jesus Christ in all of his glory. That is reserved until the final day when he comes. Surely I come quickly, and we shall see him as he is. And the wedding bells are going to ring, and we are going to have glorified bodies like unto him and his, that the bride may be a perfect bride for the perfect bridegroom. We can't begin to comprehend this. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. What a future we have. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Well, when is the world going to know that? They're going to know that at the final judgment day, when the Lord Jesus says to those on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And when they watch, and all of the elect, the bride of Christ, walk with him to the marriage altar, they'll see that. They'll see that. And then he will address them. And those who never obeyed him even once during their whole life will obey him at the final day when he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And for the first time in their life, they will obey him, and they will turn and walk away into the fiery pit. And there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And there's a great gulf fixed that they can't cross between heaven and hell. And the sign stands written above the gates of hell, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." The prayer continues, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Lord's Prayer. The prayer that Jesus uttered to his heavenly Father right before the cross, and the Holy Spirit has given it to us. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where there was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons.